Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. God's telling Moses, go tell all this to Pharaoh, right? God, we know that Moses' name means to be drawn out. God drew him out of the Nile, then he lived in Pharaoh's palace. He walked like an Egyptian, talked like an Egyptian, till he killed an Egyptian, and now he's been hiding in the hills of Midian. He's been a shepherd man. He's got a wife and kids now, and God says, no, I'm calling you back into action now. I prepared you for this time. I'm drawing you out of the wilderness and like into this calling. You're going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And what's Pharaoh going to say? Well, we're going to see that. So, Joanna, if you'll follow me on the, when I change the slides up here, if you'll change the slides up there, cool. So, it says, but when I stretch out my hand and strike, so I thought this is good. Strike is the word we're going to see for plague. It's the word nekah. So we translate it, we call it the 10 plagues. If I call it the 10 strikes or the 10 hits, you go, what's he talking about? But plague has that connotation of like, you know, bubonic plague, or think of something physically in our body going on. But it really also I think, helpful to see it's God showing, I'm going to strike you with this. This has a punishing effect to it, going, I'm doing this because this is a consequence to your rebellion. It's not like God's just mad at us and he wants to flex and show us that he's powerful. He's showing us he's powerful in response to us trying to, like, bow up on him. Who's going to bow up on God? Well, Pharaoh has repeatedly, and he's going to do so repeatedly. We're going to see that. But here, when I stretch out my hand and strike, nekah, Egypt with all my miracles that I will perform in it, after that, he will let you go. There's two main purposes for this. What are the main purposes for these plagues? One, to show Israel that God is sovereign and sustaining. I hope you were listening well. You're like, hey, those words are jogging in my memory. When we study the book of Job together, two main points. God is sovereign. God is sustaining. He's got all the sovereign power, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent, and he's sustaining, means he loves us. He's not just all-powerful. He uses all that power for those he loves. So the part of the two purposes that we're going to see in these plagues, one is God showing that he's sovereign and he's sustaining, and to show the Egyptians their gods were nothing. They're nothing. They are nowhere. Even though they kept making up gods for everything, like every little piece of nature has its own god. And we're going to see how God makes sure through the plagues that people would know that he is God and those other Egyptian gods were nothing, even though they were just vast and numerous. Like there are more Egyptian gods than there are Marvel superheroes or villains. And some of Marvel superheroes and supervillains, they've been taken from the old Egyptian deities. So, with that in mind, you ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. All right, we're going to go today. So, when Moses brings us to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's got a question and he's got a statement. His first question is, who is the Lord? Because Pharaoh would pride himself going, I know the names of all the gods. I know all the deities. I know Nut. I know Osiris. I know Isis. I know Hamath. I know all the names of the gods. So you said, who is the Lord? Yahweh? Who's that? Don't know him. And if I don't know him, why should I obey his voice and let Israel go? So that's his question. It's an honest question. His statement then is, because I don't know the Lord, I know not the Lord, so neither will I let Israel go. Now, let's make this about us for a moment. Like, hey, I thought we were going to have a history lesson. What point is history if we don't get to apply it into our own lives? If we're honest and we ask the same question, who's the Lord? Well, we're going to look at his promises to get a better idea and see and know the Lord. If we have our questions, who is the Lord really? Well, can you tell a lot about a person by the promises they keep, or maybe even the promises they break? There are certain people in your lives that you will never trust again. There are certain reparations that need to be made because a promise is broken. And there's also people that you would trust with your life. You would trust them with your baby because they've kept their promises. They've been nurturing people. They love the Lord their God and love people. So you would trust them based on their promises. So here's a number. 5,467. Any guesses what that number is? check out the big brain on Jonathan Hernandez. I was hoping y'all would guess wrong a few times, but you got it right away. Yeah, so I'm going to repeat. 5,467 is the number of promises from God in the Bible. A scholar took 18 months to count them up, and as he counted, every one of God's promises to his people were 5K deep. Zero God, go all 5,000 plus of them, okay? I want to look at seven. If we can look at just seven of these promises that are found starting in Exodus 6, verse 6. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And that's an important phrase. He's going to bookend these promises with this statement. Basically saying, I can keep these promises because I am the Lord. So remember that. That's how he's starting the statement. That's how he'll finish the statement. That's how we'll finish our service today. We're going to finish with just being reminded that he is the Lord. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. Verse 7, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you up out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. More promises. Verse 8, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give the land to you as promised. I am the Lord. So look at the promises. One, I'll bring you out. Two, I'll free you. Three, I'll redeem you. Four, I will take you. Five, I will be your God. Six, I will bring you to the land. And seven, I will give you the land. I'm so glad these go together. Because what if God just brought us to the land and didn't give it to us? Ha ha, here's what you could have had, but I'm going to give you the land. So just some of these God's promises, we put those in our lives as well, going, I will bring you out. Some of us want that so deeply, so desperately, going, I'm so stuck in my sin, I just wish I could be delivered. I wish someone would take me out from this trap, this box that I put myself in. God's promise, I'll bring you out. I will free you. And not just then let you go free, be on your own, but I will redeem you, and I will take you. I will be your God. I'm not just setting you free to be an orphan. I'm setting you free, and I'm going to adopt you into my family. Be one of my sons, one of my daughters of the Most High God. And then I'm going to bring you to the land, and I'm going to give you the land. So in light of those promises, we come to how God is going to fulfill that through 10 plagues. I don't want to just take the plagues on their own and think, wow, God's just mean. He's all powerful, but he's mean. No, we have to have this foundation set of understanding these promises, that he loves us, he's bringing us out, and he's bringing us to himself, to a land that he has prepared for us. Good, so we've got that foundation, so we can jump into the plagues. That sounds weird, but to say it that way. First plague. The Nile River, this is like the source of life and economy and everything in Egypt. Mighty Nile River. Every bit of life depends on that water, that source of water. So, it says, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Moses, go to Pharaoh. Go early in the morning. Tell him, let my people go. And if you don't, miracles of God's power are about to be put on display. So Moses takes his staff. He strikes the water of the Nile, and it turns to blood. Not just looks like blood, it is blood. It kills all the fish living inside of it. And so Pharaoh going, well, I've got my own magicians. They got their own power. Let's see if they can do this. Hey, magicians, turn some of that water to blood. And they did. Which has many questions in my own mind going, why would God allow, you know, people apart from him to have any kind of power in nature? And so this would be a direct insult to some of the Egyptian gods. One of them's Isis. She shows up a lot in all kinds of things, but she would be the goddess of the Nile. Apis, he would be the god of the Nile, and Khnum is the guardian of the Nile. That's how important this body of water is, right? We need like three deities to make sure that it's taken care of. When God's showing, they couldn't protect when I'm fulfilling my promises. So one of the strikes, one of the nakaz, God's striking with a plague. And this happened to affect everyone, all the Egyptians and even all the Israelites who would depend on the body of water known as the Nile. So now everyone's got the attention. What next? Plague number two. Now all the frogs that would have been in the Nile and all around, they begin to multiply in such vast numbers. It said they were in your bedrooms. They were in your bed. They were in your cookware, in your ovens. They were everywhere. There was a frog in our backyard last night. I almost brought it, but I knew that I was going to let it go to see if you'd freak out about one frog. The frogs were everywhere. And I thought, why not snakes? God is making a point. Why not snakes? Some of you squirm just didn't thought of it. God's going to use snakes later on, but I'm going to use this as a point right now because we have a little pet snake, a little corn snake. His name's Mr. Cuddles. He's that long. He's like 4 foot long. He got out this week. We've had him for years. He's never gotten out. But I found Mr. Cuddles in the corner of the kitchen, and it freaked me out. It still freaks me out a little bit. I woke up this morning when it was still dark, and I was stepping on our bedroom, and there was a squirrely, kind of squiggly shadow on the floor. And I was like, oh no, did he get out again? And I kicked it with my toe, and it was just one of the power cords to a phone. But it was in my mind triggered. I'm so freaked out. That's one snake, one little reptile living in our house. So take that and multiply that. The frogs are in mass multitude. They are everywhere. They're in your beds. Nobody's sleeping. They're already thirsty because the Nile's been turned to blood, and they dug like banks in the banks beside it to try to get some fresh water. That's the only way they're surviving now, is like they dug some wells on the sides of the Nile to get water. Now the frogs are here, so no one's sleeping well because the frogs are everywhere. And this is direct, just God flex against Heket. Heket is the goddess of birth, and she's a frog-headed goddess. Frogs were seen as like sacred in the land of Egypt. You don't kill them, you don't touch them, they're sacred. It's like, well, now what do I do? The frogs are everywhere, on everything. And so God relented from that plague. All the frogs died. Now what do you do with heaps and heaps of stinking frogs? There's just a stench all over Egypt. So what's next? Number three, the third plague now, there's these gnats everywhere. This is a direct God flex against Set, the god of the desert, because God told Moses, I want you to take that staff, the one you hit the Nile with, now I want you to hit the desert, hit the dust. And when you hit the dust with the staff, all the dust is going to become gnats. And gnats are everywhere. So Pharaoh goes to his magicians going, hey, can you do that trick? Show me how you do that trick, because if you do it, then I won't have to believe in that God. And the magicians of Pharaoh, the Egyptian magicians, try to do that trick. They can't. And they realize this is not a trick. This is, according to Exodus verse 8, chapter 19, the finger of God. Which God? Is it Set? And it's not Set. We have a God of the desert, but this one's doing something we can't do, and we don't know. And so these plagues kind of come in threes. These first three plagues, they happen to all the Egyptians and all the Israelites. Now as we roll into the fourth plague, I'm like, take your choice. Do you want gnats or flies? I'm like, makes my skin crawl just thinking about it. We have like one fly in our house right now. I have a gun that's full of salt. It shoots little salt sprays. It's called the assault rifle. Man, I just love shooting flies. But you will not live in my house, you one little fly. Now, flies on everything. And this flies in the face of Uatchit, is the fly god. Again, of course, the Egyptians have a god for everything, so they need a god even for the fly. This time, though, Pharaoh's asking, hey, go look over there in the land of Goshen where all the Israelites live. They got any flies over there? They don't have any flies, Pharaoh. You remember like when snowpocalypse happened here? You got electricity? You got water? All these things, we're checking like who? That's what this is now. They got no flies over there. What's the difference between them and us? The question begins to come. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that we should listen to him? Well, now he's got everyone's attention because we got flies all over us. We had the frogs. We got the water. And it's all messed up. So what next? Plague number five, all of the livestock. And this would affect the gods that they believed in, Hathor and Apis. They both had like a cow presence and cow power of sorts. Now all the livestock is just obliterated. Except over there in Goshen, hey, look over there. Those people of God, the Lord, did they? Oh, none of their livestock died. None of them? None of them? Huh. The next in this kind of trifecta of plagues would be boils. Boils would break out on every one and every living thing in Egypt. So again, God Isis is affected in here. The god Sekhmet, I'm going to just pretend I'm saying it right, and Sanu. So like goddess of childbirth and stuff, she's the goddess I forgot. So let's just keep rolling because I forgot. It's not that important. But the boils are on everyone now. So now you got itchy skin. And the Egyptians' magicians can't even go to Pharaoh now. Like, they're calling in sick for work today. Pharaoh, I can't come in. I got the boils. They're going, everyone's got the boils. What is God doing? So in this next three plagues, God comes to Pharaoh and says, through Moses, it's going to get worse. Let my people go. And every time Pharaoh would say, okay, fine, enough. Take the plague away, you can go. But then the plague would go away, Pharaoh would change his hard-hearted mind and say, no, I will not let you go. Who is the Lord? He shows himself even stronger now in the seventh plague. God's given him warning, going, okay, if you don't change, it's going to get even more severe. So the severity comes now of all the crops that were dead and all the livestock that was dead. Now there's a severe storm, lightning, crashing, hail comes in and breaks down all of the crops. It was just about to be harvest season for some of the crops, and all those crops are now gone. All the trees are now gone. And some of the Egyptians started to take the warnings from Moses, and they hid. And they hid their livestock as the hailstorm began to come down. Some of the Egyptians are even beginning to understand, who is the Lord? He is powerful, so we should listen. So when the hailstorm comes down, this affects Nut, the sky god. Osiris is like the god of the harvest and the crops, and Set. Set was the storm god. I'm going, hey, all of you worshipers are Set. Somebody lift up a prayer so he'll stop this storm. And go, we're praying to Set, but he's not doing anything. We're even making sacrifices to Set, but that's not working. It's because God is showing you, I am the Lord. There are no other gods before me. So that's the seventh plague. Now we go to the eighth plague. Whatever crops weren't destroyed by the hailstorm, God comes and sweeps it out with this mighty wind blows in, and it carries tons and tons and tons of locusts. I've always had trouble going, that's not a locust, that's a grasshopper, because I was born in Texas. Kind of in the same insect group, you know, winged, big bodies, eat all the stuff up. So blow in one of all the locusts, so there would be no harvest in Egypt that year. The whole economy is just shut down. There's no more livestock to eat, and all the harvest is gone. This year is going to be abysmal. This is going to be a drought. What next? And now it goes completely dark. The ninth plague is 3 days of complete darkness. So the people wouldn't even walk around because they would just bump into each other everywhere. In this darkness, they go, those Israelites, are they in the dark too? Nope. They've got electricity over there. They've got light over there, the people of Israel, staying in the land of Goshen. But Egypt was pure. Your questions? Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? And if by all the promises of his Bible, and all the miraculous ways he's shown that he's powerful, who am I if I'm trying to become my own little God in my own little universe, my own Lord? Y'all do whatever you want, just leave me alone so I can be my own Lord. Here's a problem with that. You make a terrible Lord. So does your spouse. Don't say amen, my wife. But it's true, because I know that my wife is an incredible, beautiful, wonderful wife, but she makes a terrible Lord. Your kids make a terrible Lord. Your job makes a terrible Lord. Your little gods that you've tried to build up, sometimes our gods start off as little hobbies, but oh, they can so quickly overtake all our thoughts and our attention and our finances. All those little gods we build up, and they never fulfill the promises that they started to say they would at the beginning. All those little addictions that hold us trapped. I hope they lead us to this question, an honest evaluation of who is the Lord. So you can tell a lot about someone by the promises they keep. And they keep on keeping those promises. So close with these verses that we started with. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with a mighty axe of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you up out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give you the land. To you as possession, I am the Lord. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we have made our own little idols, our own little gods, when we've named ourselves our own little gods. We recognize that you are more powerful than anything on earth because you created the earth. And nothing in all heaven or on earth or under the earth could separate us from your power and your great love that you give through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we look at these nine plagues. I know there's one we didn't mention. By your power, you stir in us a great curiosity for your scripture. Bright, your great love stir us with more affections for your family. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask y'all to stand up, please. I want to shake it up a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say something and I want you to repeat it, okay? Let's get into the echo game. Let's give it a shot. Watch this. Singing all your promises won't let go of me. Good job. Singing all your promises won't let go of me. So there's going to be another part in a little bit, right? It's going to go, oh, 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 can't forget about it. Oh, 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 can't forget about it. Okay, we're good? All good? Give me a nod, right? So now, Mr. Jonathan, give me a little beat.
I surrender my life to your ways. I'll learn what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you have made. I am seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. Try, 'cause your love is better than life with the sun shining bright and it just won't set. Your love is alive and it lights my step. My My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Whoa, oh, oh, I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't. I'm singing all of your promises, won't let go of me. Singing all of your promises, won't let go of me. I'm singing all of your promises, won't let go of me. Singing all of your promises, won't let go of me. Well, the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Your love is alive and it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Whoa, oh, oh, I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget. I'm singing all of your promises, won't let go of me. I'm singing all of your promises, won't let go. Amen.
That's so good. Yeah, go ahead and stay standing. We won't be long. I just wanted to make note, like next week, Jonathan's going to bring a word. And if you're going, hey, I'm type A, I need completion. You only did 9 of the 10 plagues. That was on purpose. I'm driving you crazy. When I come back, I want to pay a special attention to that 10th plague and how that begins Passover, and we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. But that's in a couple weeks. You guys keep on coming back, all right? Now, just in the appreciation of how God has blessed us to live in a free nation, the land of the free, home of the brave, I just want us to pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you that you have blessed America, and I pray that we never take those blessings for granted. But from those blessings, we would go and bless others. In this nation, those who are just need to know that you are God who loves and has all power, and that we would also be a nation that goes to share around the world that you so loved the world that you gave your son. I pray that we would not be shy about the name of Jesus, the name above all names. It's in his name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all have an incredible 4th of July. Let's sing this song together of the blessings that we get to enjoy.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him.